Speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a marvelous day for an ordination. It's a marvelous day for the Church Universal, for the Episcopal Church, for the Diocese of Texas, and for St. Albans Parish. And I'm so grateful to Bishop Doyle and to the clergy and people of St. Albans for your hospitality this weekend. And of course, it's a marvelous day for you, Garrett, and for your family. A day that we all rejoice has arrived. And it's also a particularly auspicious day because today in the church calendar is the observance of St. Fabian, bishop and martyr. You may or may not know the story of St. Fabian, so I'm going to tell you. So this is a guy who in 236 A.D., was hanging out in the crowd when they were trying to pick a new pope. The historian Eusebius describes the scene this way in his ecclesiastical history. When the brethren were all assembled for the purpose of appointing him who should succeed to the episcopate, and very many notable and distinguished persons were in the thoughts of many, Fabian, who was there, came into nobody's mind. But all of a sudden, they relate, a dove flew down from above and settled on his head as clear imitation of the descent of the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove upon the Savior. Whereupon the whole people, as if moved by one divine inspiration with all eagerness and with one soul, cried out, "Worthy!" And without more ado, took him and placed him on the episcopal throne. To summarize, a pigeon landed on a random guy's head, and so they made him pope. Now, I'm sure that you can imagine all of the ways that this admittedly eccentric method for discernment could go very wrong. Surely he wasn't qualified. After all, he didn't graduate from Princeton Seminary. He wasn't trained or tested or approved by multiple committees for his ministry. And yet Fabian turned out to be an able administrator, dividing the churches in Rome into districts supervised by deacons. He sent out seven bishops as apostles to the Gauls. He worked against the emergence of new heresies, and most importantly, he was known for his holiness of life, a life that ended in prison during the persecutions of the Emperor Decius. God chooses. God calls, and God is the one who makes our ministries possible. Now, as a theological educator and a member of the General Board of Examining Chaplains, I don't think that we should replace our current system with selection by pigeon. But I do think that we need to be reminded that what we do today is not about our action, but about the action of the triune God. It's about the action of God to call particular people to particular ministries. And above all, it's about the action of God to be for us in Jesus Christ. And that's why it's always good to read the call story of Isaiah at ordinations. Isaiah knows that he is in no sense qualified for this, not because of what he learned or didn't learn in grad school, but because of who he is. "Woe is me. I am lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips." He knows that he has no standing of his own to to bear the presence of the holiness of God. But it's only through an act of God, through a miracle of grace, through a painful and all-sufficient work of healing, through his forgiveness, that his ministry is possible. Because we can only pass on what we have first received, what we have known is true and reliable. As priests, we can only care for the flock of Christ if we know ourselves as known, loved, and saved by the one who is the good shepherd and the gate of life, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. As priests, we're all reliant on the grace given to us according to the measure of Christ's gift. But what is the measure of Christ's gift? Is it a little extra added on to what we already have? Is it a little something to top off who we already are? Do some of us get more of it than others? No. Christ's gift is infinite. And Christ's gift changes everything. As Rowan Williams writes in his commentary on the Easter Gospels, our own encounters with the risen Christ open up new vistas, new possibilities that we never would have dreamed on our own. And so Paul the persecutor becomes the evangelist to the Gentiles. Peter the denier becomes the feeder of the sheep. Williams writes, we are given both a past and a future of vocation. That assurance of future grace is implied in our connectedness with Jesus as we consciously and deliberately articulate our commitment to being with Jesus. We become carriers of the truthfulness of Jesus. The believer who lives in the furnace of this truth is being made a witness to the rest of humanity of the possibility of living with truth, burning but not consumed. And thus he or she becomes part of God's act of giving back to the world its memory. In the Spirit, we are not only the recipients but the transmitters of hope. And our new identity is bound up with that destiny to transmit hope, to preach the gospel. Or as St. Ambrose tells us in his advice to his own clergy, drink from Christ so that your voice also may be heard. Store up in your mind the water that is Christ, the water that praises the Lord. Fill your soul then with this water so that your land may not be dry, but watered by your own springs. He who is full refreshes others. You can't share with others what you haven't received yourself. But Garrett, I know that you've heard the story. I know that you've heard that same old song of love and forgiveness, grace and freedom. I know that you've heard that God is not against you, but for you. And that's the same word that you now are being set apart to bear into the midst of the congregation. It can often seem that our church, and indeed the whole world, is a slow-motion catastrophe from which we cannot escape. Who in their right minds would sign up for any of this? Who would dare say, here I am, and with coal-seared lips give their life to the message that once God became flesh and that once a dead man came to life, and that what that means is that none of our catastrophes, personal, ecclesial, political, or cultural, are as final as they appear. But that's the gospel truth. That's the good news. And the priesthood that is yours and mine is a slow motion miracle, one that is continuously upheld only through an act of sheer grace. At my own ordination to the priesthood, my mentor said this to me, these exact words. And so I will say it now to you, Garrett, and everybody else, you can listen in. Garrett Matthew Lane, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. That and only that is the condition of possibility for everything else that comes after. May you know it as today you are sent. Amen.